Is everybody happy? And everybody scream! Makes no difference what the problem.
I can't go to God in prayer.
For I have this blessed assurance.
I can't go to God in prayer.
He will take your gloom and sorrow.
When it hits you like a
hammer. Now God will strengthen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Corona. I love you, girl. You know me. You know your Pentecostal brother Carlo.
What you're going to fill up the spirit in me.
Wow, so wound up and turned around by that music. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Let me get right into this. Last time I was with you all, I began to deepen for you the serenity prayer, the prayer for serenity, which is to say the prayer for peace. I did say that we live, according to Jesus, in an experience of heaven on earth if we accept it. If we choose to know that and if we choose to look for it, that we will find heaven everywhere. I gave the definition of the word serenity as an inner experience of calm, assurance, peace, and absence of worry. Now that sounds like a description of heaven on earth to me. It sounds like a place that I could love to be in, an inner experience of serenity. One of the things that was included in our daily word for today was a quote that says, most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Well, I want you to know that I am one of those people who has made up my mind to be happy. And I've discovered that if I'm going to attain that goal of living my day-to-day experience in an inner world of assurance and calm and peace and lack of worry, then there is something that I must do. I must do the work that it takes to maintain my residence in heaven while on earth. I did mention that why would anyone choose not to experience a world of heaven on earth? Why would we look for evidence that supports the idea that this is not heaven? And why would we make choices that leave us outside of the domain of peace and serenity? I did say that Jesus has offered two reasons why we might choose to be in hell rather than to choose to be in heaven. One of those reasons he gave was that many among us would far rather be right than to be happy. You know, right about what is, right about the way it is. We want to be right about the world and right about the country and right about the politics and right about social ordinances. We want to be right. And much of what we want to be right about is, I don't know what heaven on earth is, but I'm sure this ain't it. We want to be right about it. Another reason that he gave that we might choose to live in hell rather than to experience living in heaven is that many among us would far rather hold on to the story of our pain and to continue to invoice those who we feel are responsible for authoring the story of our pain. We are just stuck in a rut of reactivity, stuck in a rut of playing the blame game, whether we are blaming an individual, a group of individuals, a political party, or the system at large, or the way God put this whole thing together. So, do you want to be right rather than to be happy? This is a question you should pose to yourself, that I should pose to myself. Would I rather be right, or would I rather be happy? Would I rather hold on to the story of my pain and continue to invoice others and things and events and circumstances outside me for authoring the story of my pain? Do I want to continue standing outside of the Garden of Peace, holding up my banner in large print that reads for all the world to see, "Behold, how I suffer at your hands"? Or do I really want joy? Do I really want peace? Do I really want happiness? Again, it was in your daily word. Most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Now, the mind is where it all originates, my entire experience. Although I may not be the author of what is, I am the author of what I do with what is. And so constantly I'm looking inside. Constantly I am weeding the garden of my mind because I want to be happy. I want to be happy more than I want to be right. I want to be happy more than I want to keep the story of my pain. It's a good story. Oh my God, if I tell the story of my pain, people will lean in. People will rest an arm on me gently. People will say, I'm holding you in prayer. People will say, I understand. If that happened to me, well, I would have no happiness either. No, that's why I hang out with people like members of Unity. Because hopefully, when I bring the story of my pain to any one of you, you will stop me in my tracks and you will let me know that God is in charge of the universe, that God is in charge of my life. And regardless of how it may appear that things are falling apart, they are truly coming together. Why? Because God is in control. As you know, to support my happiness, I begin every day without fail with my affirmation, which I repeat again and again throughout the day. My affirmation, as you know, is, it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. I won't change my mind if my little plan falls apart. I won't change my mind if challenges come to greet me during the day. I won't change my mind if somebody I really like stops liking me. I won't change my mind if I become informed that I've lost my job or that I have to take a pay cut to keep my job. I will not change my mind. I will not change my mind regardless of what information comes from my lawyer. I will not change my mind regardless of what diagnosis comes from my doctor. I am simply determined, with all of the determination that is available to me, to stay in heaven while I'm on earth, to do whatever it takes to continue to abide in an inner experience of calm, assurance, peace, and absence of worry. Just that last statement alone, that last statement in the definition of serenity, can you imagine abiding in a consistent space where you are living in an inner experience of absence of worry? That would be like a flip of an entire coin for many of us who live our lives filled with worry. What would it be like to let go and let God and to trust in God? You also know, many of you, that one of my favorite words, possibly my all-time favorite word, is hallelujah. Hallelujah is me declaring that there is no presence, no power other than God's. When I say hallelujah, I am recognizing that all power is in the hands of God, all power over my life. There is no other governor over my life, not an individual, not a circumstance, not a place, nor a thing. When I say hallelujah, I am declaring out loud to others and to myself that there is but one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. And that one presence and that one power is God the good. I am affirming when I say hallelujah that God is all power, being omnipotence itself, not just all powerful, but all power. I acknowledge with the word hallelujah that I truly believe that God is in charge of the universe and in charge of my life. I am affirming that I bow down to no authority but God's. That's the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, me recognizing the power of what follows. Luyah. Yah, the first word that we gave to what we call God, the great Yah. How tempting it is to fall prey to the belief that there are other powers and other authorities. How tempting it is to fall prey
to the erroneous misconception that something or someone other than God has the authority to determine whether I am living in an experience of heaven on earth or not. As I said last week, the Serenity Prayer over time became abbreviated. The abbreviation that everyone knows the Serenity Prayer by, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference. But the prayer goes on, living one day at a time, experiencing and enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, knowing that you, God, will make all things right if, my dad called the word if the biggest little word he had ever come across, if I surrender to your will, O God. There is another use of this little, biggest word my dad had ever come across that said, be you not weary. Be not weary in your well-doing. Be not weary in your serving. Be not weary in your walking your talk. Be not weary in your exercise of faith, even when it's hard to do. Be not weary in putting one foot in front of another foot, even marching through the appearance of the valley of the shadow of death. Be not weary in your well-doing, because in due season you will reap if. The biggest little word my daddy ever came across, if. You faint not, if you don't give up. I know sometimes things get trying. You're doing the best you can. You're operating in the best possible way you can. And you're waiting on a manifestation of healing of some kind. Maybe it's a physical healing of the body. Maybe it's an emotional healing. Maybe it's a mental healing. Maybe it's a financial healing. Maybe it's a relational healing. And sometimes as you're practicing your faith, you begin to get weary. I thought that the answer to my prayer would have come by now. Perhaps I should just give up. No, the scripture is clear. Become not weary in your well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. The scripture that I chose for you today makes one thing very clear to Carlos Wayne Anderson. And what it makes clear to me is I do not really understand the inner meaning of anything much at all. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the preface verse to the one I have in your program. The one I have in your program says, in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and God will direct your paths. I think it's cute and kind of funny that many of us think we understand what's going on when we truly do not and cannot. Only God is aware of the inner meanings of what is going on with you even, and with others in your field, and with life at large. So this scripture is reminding me, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to understand it. I have so many people saying, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand how God could let this happen. I don't understand how God could put that person in power. I don't understand. I don't understand. No, you can't understand. You can't understand. It's outside of your field of understanding. Well, because you can't understand, what can you do? You can understand that God understands and that the will of God is being done always and forever. In order for my will to be done, then my will must be, let the will of God be done. There are all kinds of ways to increase your happiness, all kinds of ways to turn up the volume on your joy. As I said, a couple of those ways for me is to begin my day like I want to live it through and end it, saying, hallelujah, it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. I want to catch myself when I experience an emotional inner experience of being outside of the Garden of Peace. And I want to get back in the garden by recognizing if I'm out, I must be trying to be right about something, trading in happiness in order to be right. I must look inside and see if for me there is any piece of me that is determined to hold to the story of my pain rather than to be free to live again. I must let go, and I must let God. I must know that I am not the shepherd of my life. I am the sheep. God is the shepherd. I am meant not to lead. I am meant to follow the still small voice within me that guides and directs my every step. In the Pentecostal church, which I make up, that I worshiped in, along with my sister Dakota, in the Pentecostal church, we sang a song that speaks of letting go and letting God. It speaks of surrendering to the will of God. It speaks these words as its lyrics. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. So, I know it's hard to do. I know it's not an easy ask. But your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to take, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as you would have it, knowing that God will make all things right if you surrender to God's will, that you may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with God forever in the next. An inner experience of calm, assurance, peace, and absence of worry. That's what I want. And that's what I insist upon through the activity of my thinking. Let's go inside for a moment and be still.
I thank you, God, for this opportunity to stop all activity, mind and body, to abide in your healing presence, in your electric peace. I release, I let go. I let go and surrender to the one with whom I am at one, this one whom we have come to call God. No true separation is possible. The one Creator God remains one and all forever, and could never be broken into pieces or separated from its own one and only self. All that is can be nothing less or other than all that is. There is but one presence, and there is but one power in the universe and in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all at once, and nothing, as in no thing, will ever be able to separate me from the love of God. Knowing this, I can relax now. Knowing this, I can let go and let God be God in the midst of me. I surrender to the will of God. Let my will be that God's will be done. I surrender. I rest in the arms of God, trusting in God with all my heart. I relax. I let go. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. I surrender into thy hands, O God. I commit my spirit. Yes. Yes. Amen.
voices in unity. Small in number and mighty as ever. True, true, true. I know that a lot of you, you know that God is in this place.